Hey girl, hey, welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker of the live daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. So here's the deal, on my radio show, we're like married up in there, okay? Yeah, like till death do us part, or until you want a divorce, totally up to you. But this podcast is where we date. Yes, you date me, you like, you get to know me, you try me on, you feel me out, and this is where I get to woo celebs, tastemakers, and influencers into falling in love with me. Anyone who knows me knows I'm like a professional social climber. And yeah, I wear that title like a badge of honor. But for reals, my favorite part of being in the radio industry for 12 plus years is getting to meet interesting, inspiring, and exceptional people and getting them to talk about the pettiest things in the world. So if you love real talk with a touch of cattiness and a ton of laughers, then you're in the right place. I hope you enjoy this little snack. Hey girl, hey, welcome to another episode of my weekly podcast, Taste of Taylor. So we did the Virgin Voyage last week with Jerry O'Connell, and now I have sitting with me, I'm so fucking excited. I am excited AF. I can't even believe it. Heather McMahon, hey girl, hey.
Hey girl, hey. Girl, what's up?
So we got so much to talk about, girl. Yes. Because before we get into all of the amazingness that you're doing on your Instagram, follow Heather, if you don't already, at Heather McMahon.
Yes, Heather K. McMahon, like Kardashian.
Heather K. McMahon, Kardashian. You are doing epic and innovative things on Instagram, and we will talk about that because I feel like we all live our lives on Instagram, and people want to go viral. And girl, you doing it. You go on virals.
Listen, I am so humbled and honored that people are tuning in because it's literally just like me being 31, living at my mom's house, like doing the most and the least at the same time.
Yes.
So the fact that people are into it, like, I'm just grateful.
Well, you know what? You're like the second wave of girl with no job. No joke.
Yes, really. I'm actually the girl with no job.
I remember when I met girl with no job, Claudia. She's a good friend of mine now. And I remember when I was like, I don't get it. You got no job. You got millions of followers. That's like a job, right? And she's like, yeah, that's the point. But now she's the girl with all the jobs. That's the secret. That's the joke.
Right. You literally just want to get hashtag sponsored. And like, I'm literally just trying to figure out how I can get my entire life sponsored. Because now I have like real influencers reach out to me.
Yes.
And I see how they live their lives. I'm like, the joke's on everybody else who goes to a 9 to 5 and who went to like grad school and business school.
No shit. That's why everyone's, and I talk about this war between Gen Xers and millennials.
Right.
Because Gen Xers were raised to follow rules, and I get it because I'm like a cusper.
Right.
I was taught you follow the rules, you go to a good high school.
Absolutely.
You go to an Ivy League college. I did not.
Right.
And then you like, you marry a guy from an Ivy League school, and then he's a doctor and you're a lawyer, and then like you do all the right things in life and life will be good.
Right.
Hashtag not true.
No, not at all.
And now millennials are breaking all the rules and getting rewarded. So Gen Xers are fucking pissed that they had to follow the rules, and now millennials are doing better than them.
It's such a bitter, like a bitter spot for so many people. And technically, I mean, I'm a millennial, right? Because I'm 31.
You are. You're a millennial.
Where's the cutoff? 38?
Girl, it is all over the fucking map.
Well, my sister, who's 34, is, you know, an incredible attorney, and she had to go to like Georgia Tech and then do the law thing, and she wanted to be an artist. But once my dad saw my SAT scores, he was like, you're going to have to be an artist. So for me, you know, she kind of looks at what I do and she's like, you're the one living the dream. Like,
yes.
You're just doing the most. Now, right now, yes, I'm like technically not bringing in income yet, but it's like on the horizon.
You're there.
I can see it. Yes.
You're there. Yeah. Yes. You're investing your time in your future and your financial future.
I'm manifesting like so much coin.
Do you do like vision boards and stuff?
Okay. So I did. Yes.
I didn't expect it. Yes.
Yes. So I did a vision board. We got like snowed in Atlanta and it never snows right after Christmas. So I decided just to do a vision board like for the hell of it. And it's really just because I like to do old lady things. Like I love a scrapbook. I like to doodle. so I did the vision board and it wasn't even like realistic stuff. Like I put, instead of like, you know, most people put on their vision board, oh, I want to lose weight or I want to be really thin. I just put like a picture cool sculpting. I was like, I just want to get procedures done. Like, I know myself. I'm like, if it isn't attainable, I'm like, I can save my money to get my fat frozen. I'm not actually going to, like, you know, go to the gym six
Girl,
days a week.
I would cool sculpt with you, like, for real. Let's go on a cool sculpt date.
Yeah, let's do it. Because, I mean, if you can, like, you know, they say, like, set it and forget it. If you can freeze it and, like, you know, I don't know, tease it. Like, let's just get rid of it. I don't care.
So I do want to talk about like going viral, living the social media dream, being an influencer, getting those hashtag sponsors.
Right.
But before we get into any of that, okay, and also on Britney 911, it's like major. Everyone's obsessed with it, obsessed with you. Before we get into your career, and so people can basically copy and, you know, like basically skin you and wear you around town,
right,
which is the biggest compliment ever.
Right.
I call it well worthy. It's like Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
Like, thank you for kidnapping me, making me skinnier, putting lotion on the skin, and then wearing me about town.
Yeah, is like if somebody can do like an accurate impression of me, like to me that's like the biggest form of flattery. Are you kidding me? Like, just mock me, please. I'm dying for it. Yeah. Yeah.
But before we get into any of that, we have to talk about one of the most awkward moments, at least of my 2018.
Okay.
When I talked about you on my show because I was such a fan of Britney 911.
Right.
And for whatever reason, I decided to quantify like what I thought your life was. I don't even know why I even went into this diatribe, but I did. And then I put it on my podcast, Taste of Taylor, which we now know we're in the reboot. So now it's all fresh content, but you know, literally go back 2 episodes. And it was like basically tidbits from my live radio show, The Taylor Strucker Show. Sign up at taylorstrucker.com, shameless plug. However, somebody must have told you that I talked about you in the show, and then it was in my podcast, Taste of Taylor, so yes. You'll listen to it. So you listen to it, and you're probably excited, like, oh, this girl's going to be talking about me, and then I call you 40.
Yes.
And I say that you have 2 children. Now...
But here's the thing. So when I heard that, literally, though, it was so funny to me, but also so endearing, because when I go on auditions, like, as an employed actor, all I audition for, it's either hooker or, like, mom of 7. So I clearly give off a vibe that I'm, like, stressed and tired all the time. So when you were like... literally, when you're like, yeah, you're 40, I'm like, honestly, I don't... I it's so hard being an actor sometimes because they want me to audition for like, you know, CW shows where I play 17-year-old, and I'm like, I have this voice and this.
You
like,
know what it is? It's your voice.
Yes.
And I have the same voice.
Yes.
It's like this, it's a boss bitch voice.
Oh, 100%.
We've lived, honey.
And I've told my agent, I'm like, quit sending me out for CW shit because I don't read on camera with double D's and broad shoulders and a deep voice. Like, I literally need to go in for like old hookers that smoke and like, talk about life, you know? So no, really, I just thought it was so funny. I was like, fuck yes, I'm giving off the 40-year-old and mom of 2 vibe.
Because that's like the mom of 2 was because you were in it, what it looked like to me, a luxury vehicle. And I believe, so from when I was watched, I found you on Instagram through Britney 911.
Right.
Again, we'll get to it in a little bit. Don't worry, guys. But I was like fascinated with you because you were living the life that I felt like I had. Uh-huh. And then I left and I was like, I don't know. I was like getting, because you're like, you're funny and you're cool. You're honest, you're self-deprecating, you're confident. Your vibe is like, I got this. And so I was like, she must be rich with kids.
Well, no, my mom is rich and yeah. I'm her kid who lives in her house.
I love you so fucking much.
Yeah, so like that's where I'm at. And that's the thing is people are like, Heather, you're just like living the dream at your mom's house. I'm like, you don't understand. That's my mom's money from my dead father. So it's not necessarily my money. And Robin is 70 and thriving and cute and like will live to be 200. So my sister always is like, Heather, you know, we're never going to see that money. I'm like, you're
never,
right.
Never.
So I literally am like, But like I'll still go to the grocery store with Robin. We'll be like at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, and I try and put things in the cart. I mean, she's still like a cheap bitch from Boston, so she's like, Heather, we don't
your
need
mom's that. From Boston. I'm from yes. Boston.
What part?
I'm from South Shore.
Okay, she's from Northy.
Oh, I get North Shore.
Yeah, North Shore.
Like Salem and like
Mashfield and Dedham.
No, that girl, Mashfield. Oh. Mashfield's right by me.
Oh, so it's South.
I'm from Cohasset. There's no R, so I can't do it. Yeah, I say Pak the Khan, Harvard Yard. Yeah, my dad's a Boston boy. He grew up in Hyde Park. He went to Harvard, but like he was like a poor boy that like cleaned like shit and piss and barf to get through Harvard. He's a doctor.
That's Robin.
Girl.
It's so funny. My mom will not, there's something that triggers her about Boston. Like she won't go back. And so like all of her family still lives there. And so she lives in Atlanta and has been thriving. Think she's a Southern Belle, but has a thick Bostonian accent.
No.
So she always tells her friends and family, they're like, how's Atlanta? She's like, you know, oh, it's a friggin' dump. You're gonna hate it. Cause she's like, I don't want these assholes coming down here. But when she's at like our very Southern country club, she's like, yeah, my daughter will have a vodka. And they're like,
vodka.
Yeah, they're like, where are you from? She's like, Boston. Why? I don't have an accent. What are you talking about? Yeah. But she's really like a little Jewish grandmother from like Brooklyn is the vibe she gives off.
That's what I thought actually. Yeah. But alas, she's a Boston girl.
She's a Boston girl.
She's a masshole just like me.
Yep. I'm a Pisces. I'm an old soul.
Me too. Girl, when's your birthday?
March 15th.
February 22nd.
Oh my God.
We are going to be best friends.
Like literally like reviving so hard. The energy is real in the studio.
I know. And I also heard on Morning Toast yesterday because I listened that you're going to be moving to New York.
Yes.
Girl, I'm making you a co-host.
Yes.
I pay $50 a show.
Hey, I'm there. $50 will just pay for like my Sweet Greens and my Uber home. So like that's perfect.
Perfect, bro.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to be back in New York. You know, the Italian Stallion, my boyfriend, lives here.
You love the Italian Stallion.
I love the Italian Stallion. He's just the best. And we've been ride or die for 7 years. And he just finished grad school. And now we're like finally like, okay, we're adults. Let's do it. So
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me what it's like growing up in Atlanta. Because that's an extra city I've never been to. I've watched it extensively on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Which is funny because none of them live in actual Atlanta. They all live in like the ritzy burbs, like a Scarsdale or Westchester. Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Atlanta's incredible. It's such a good town. And like my goal is to like raise my kids in Atlanta.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, like as an actor, I was living in New York and LA, going back and forth. And then every time I book a job, they'd send me back to Atlanta. So it's this really, because they have a big tax incentive for production.
Yes, yes, yes.
So like,
yes,
everything that you see now, every movie, every show on Netflix, it's all shot in Atlanta.
No shit.
Yes. So, and it's so funny. I just shot a movie last year that'll come out in 2019. Yeah, it's called Family. Anyway, so everybody was from LA and nobody knew I was from Atlanta. And they're like, wow, Atlanta's like super impressive. Like we all thought it was going to be like, you know, a bunch of like rednecks and like a dump. And I'm like, fuck all of y'all. Yes. Like when I moved to New York, I literally had people that thought I rode to school on a horse. I'm like,
that's ridiculous.
I'm like, we had the Olympics. Now, granted, we failed at the Olympics.
Yeah, you guys did a real bad job.
We did. But like Atlanta's such a good town. And I say like,
but like when did it get good? Because actually for me, the first time I was like, I gotta go to Atlanta. Yes, the Housewives like of Atlanta gave it like a good like zhuzhing.
Right.
Also Chris Chrisley.
Oh, he's everything.
Chrisley knows the best. I was like, I kinda wanna check out Atlanta. And then for what sealed the deal for me, I wanna move there now.
Right.
Was Queer Eye. I was like, Atlanta is a town.
Yes. And they it's funny, they didn't really shoot really in Atlanta either. They were out in like the country. You know what I mean? But no, Atlanta's a good town. It's a melting pot, but it's also like a lot of old money, but it's culture. I say Atlanta has some of the best restaurants in the country.
I've heard.
We have a ton of like James Beard award winning restaurants. I just encourage everybody to come down. Now, yeah, like if you come down in July and August, you're going to melt. It's hot Atlanta for a reason. And I don't get offended when people are like, it's hot Atlanta. I'm like, no, it is fucking hot. So. Yeah. No, it's a good place. I love it. But it's just so funny to see. Like, we're getting a Nobu, and we have to get all these places to, like, you know, keep all the New York and LA folks who are coming in to shoot movies happy. And it's just like, oh, literally, I was at my mom's country club, and this woman was like, did you hear we're getting a Nobu? She's like, God damn, these bougie people. She's like, the sushi isn't even good. I'm like, you're right,
you know,
Miss Miller. You're right.
Amen, sister friend. Yeah. Nobu is a scam and a half.
100%.
But I really would like to go there and eat tonight.
Yeah. But if, like, Jeff wanted to drop, like, $300 and take me for, like, nigiri, I'd go.
But
yeah.
The idea of it, like, it makes me very excited. But it's, like, really fucking not even that good.
Right. Since I was a kid. So when I was 16, I did stand-up comedy at my high school prom.
When you were a kid?
A kid.
First of all, I have such a deep respect for stand-up comedy. It is a scary thing. I feel like I'm always surrounded by comedians, but alas, not ever brave enough, ballsy enough to be one. I just did a live show in Boston, and my manager was like, you're doing stand-up for 35 minutes. And I was like, I possibly can't.
Right.
And I went out there and I kind of like put on the voice. Right. And I like did it. And I did it. I did it. But like, whoo, child, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I had to do it, if I could do it all the time. It's,
right.
It's not easy.
Well, you know, I'm not like a road comic and like stand-up isn't my main thing, but I'm going to start.
You're funny.
My thing is I love doing my characters and the one-woman show, and I like performing, and I religiously follow all my favorite comics, but like the stand-up grind is a specific thing, and I know I need to continue to do stand-up to, you know, have such a, be a well-rounded comedian, but I was always just a goofy kid, so when I was 16, I roasted the senior class at our prom, and it was like a big surprise, and I made all of my peers laugh, and I said, you know, high school is just that pivotal moment where you're like, if I can make it in high school, I'll be okay.
Yes.
And I made everyone laugh, and I was like, this is what I was born to do. Like, it was just one of those things that kind of put that seed in my head. I mean, I always knew I wanted to be an actor, but I was like, I can do this. If I can make the senior class laugh, and they were like, Heather, you did it, bro. I'm like, I can do this. Yeah. So no matter how hard I bomb anywhere else,
yes,
I've made it because I made everybody in high school laugh. So.
I love that. Yeah. I tried to make everybody in high school laugh, and I just, like, broke a folding table.
Right. Physical
they
comedy.
Laugh, they laugh for the wrong reasons.
Right.
I'm such a dork. Okay, anyway. So now cut to present day. So, you know, doing the acting thing, doing the comedy thing. But, like, you know, the struggle is fucking real.
Oh,
fucking
real. It's so real.
So then you, like, go on your Instagram because the gram is, like, a thing. And,
yes.
like was it intentional cultivation or was it kind of just, like, dumb luck?
Well, no. So I started putting stuff up very organically, like, when Instagram started years ago.
Yeah.
And I was living in LA at the time. And so I had... you know, it does help when a couple celebrities follow you. And so I had a couple friends. Like, my girlfriend, Busy Phillips, is so sweet. And she would always like, retweet me.
Of course you're friends with Busy. You are Busy.
Well, we met at the gym and she's been so kind to like promote me. But I honestly was so, I made a conscious effort to like, I have to do this organically.
Yes.
And because as a comedian, you don't know what is actually funny or what hits if you're, you know, not being true to yourself or if you're buying followers or whatever. And so it took so,
very true.
It took so long for me to build a following. And then literally, what, 6 months? Months ago, things really went viral when I started doing the Britney 911 thing. But my buddy Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye,
can you please tell him I want to talk to him?
Yes, he's in New York, so I'll get him out of here. He's just the best. And so he actually found me, reached out to me a year ago when they were shooting Queer Eye in Atlanta.
Yes,
and he was like, "Hey, you're funny. We're like, whoa.
So you became friends because of your Instagram.
Yes, we had mutual friends in LA and he was shooting in Atlanta and didn't know anybody and was like, "Hey, can we be friends?" Now, granted, like he was doing Game of Thrones and like, you know, was building his thing. So we very, you know, organically became friends.
Yep.
And then literally, you know, he blew up overnight once Queer Eye because it's such a success. And it's so amazing.
He's obviously the star. I mean, no shit. The other boys are so delicious and great too. But like, I mean, his fucking face is on like the thingy when you go into Netflix.
Yes. And it's just, I mean, you know, when you look like Jesus too, I think you're like a guiding light.
Gay Jesus.
Yes. Gay Jesus.
It's like everything.
Yes, yes.
Good Jesus.
Yes. And so it's so insane to see like his career just blow up overnight. And then he started really promoting me, I guess back in like June or July, being like, "You guys need to follow her. She's my friend." And he's been so encouraging to me. And literally when you have 1.8 million followers, or I don't even know how many he has now, literally it was like overnight it just started blow up.
Girl, I mean, Stassi from Vanderpump Rules is one of my best friends. And so whenever I go on that bitch's podcast, I swear to God, I'm like, I go to these live shows now. I mean, my listeners are like, "So I found you through Stassi." I was like, "I was only on Sirius for 12 fucking years. Right. Happy you found me through." I mean, and also love Stassi. And thank God she has me on and she promotes me. She's so generous. But that's the thing. It's like, we're really living in a time where, you know, it really is about networking. I mean, you always hear that like in business. It's really about networking. It's not what you know. It's who you know, which I hate. But I also...
But it's 100% true.
But when I got friends with over a million followers, I fucking love it.
Right. And the thing is, and like, I got to give a shout out to all like my OG followers because I've been wearing wigs and doing characters and doing this for 4 or 5 years. Yep. And so I'm just so grateful that now people just... And they're so engaged. Like, I can't even get through my messages, which is so sweet and overwhelming to me.
I just want to take a quick break to talk about one of our fabulous sponsors for the brand new Taste of Taylor podcast. So if you're like me, then you know how hard it is to find the perfect bra that looks good, feels comfortable, and most importantly, that fits great. Back in the day, like, I was, like, buying cheap bras or, like, I didn't like, the fact that my bra size was my bra size. So I was just like getting like crappy ones. And I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference. Like a bad bra, ugh. Like it makes your boobs look weird and it makes you look heavier, truthfully, and so uncomfortable. So I'm telling you, I have a whole new respect for bras and I am all about the good bra game. And well, that's how I stumbled across an amazing brand called Le Mystère, okay? So they're fantastic. They have a huge celebrity following for more than 20 years. Now I know why people love these bras, because they're incredible. They design the most beautiful lingerie and it looks stylish, but it actually feels amazing. For me, that's the thing is like, I used to look at underwear bras, like it's like there's lingerie and then there's like cozies, you know, and there's really no happy medium. But Le Mystère, they actually nail both. So it's like sexy and it's fashionable and it makes you feel feminine and good. But at the same time, it's like wearable and comfortable. That's what's up, girlfriends. Finally, I don't have to sacrifice sexy for fit. Also, having boobs is kind of amazing. Like, you know, whatever. I always complain about my weight gain. But the good part is I get these awesome boobs. But if I'm not like supporting them properly, they're like slob kebabs. So I definitely feel transformed when I wear my Le Mystère bra. This is very important too. And my big chested sisters out there can understand. They also have sizes from A. I mean, in my lifetime, I've actually been like an A or a B, but they go all the way up to H. And I just love how they're accessible to everyone. They are sold to fine retailers like Bloomingdale's, Saks, Lord & Taylor, Dillard's, where you can actually have a one-on-one fitting with one of their brand ambassadors. But if you're crunched for time, like most of us are, you can actually schedule a Skype fitting with a certified bra fitter on their website, which is lemestier.com. Plus, the best part, 50 of our listeners can get a free Lemestier cosmetic bag with their purchase. It's super cute, and I'm always needing a good cosmetic bag, girl, you know? So go to lemestier.com/gift and add the bag to your cart and add your other purchases, and then use promo code T-O-T to knock the price of the bag to zero. That's lemestier.com/gift and promo code T-O-T. Discover Les Mystères and discover you transformed.
I think people are really engaged because I've been so honest. And I think that Instagram's this place where I'm like, look at what I have, look at what I'm doing. But I'm like, look, I'm 31, struggling actor, living at home with my mom, like thriving, you know?
it's relatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gives people, I mean, it makes people feel like they're your best friend.
Yeah.
And it's authentic.
Yeah. And I just am so grateful to everybody who tunes in and who follows along. And I feel like it's really.
We're grateful for you, honey.
Oh, you're so sweet.
But you're so fucking funny.
Well, and you know what? It's interesting. How do I put this? Like the fact that people resonate with my voice, I'm like, oh, it also makes me feel like I'm not alone. Like we're all in our 30s trying to figure this shit out. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would have had a career at 27. I was like, oh, I give myself to 27. I'm going to be on SNL. I'm going to do all these things. And you're like, no, life happens. Shit's real. And you got to, you know, just keep going. I can't stop now. Fuck. You think Bank of America or some like corporate company would hire me? No, they look at my Instagram and be like, she's a liability. I'm an HR full liability. So I have to continue to do
this. Yeah, you got to forge ahead,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, so I'm 30. I'm going to be 36 in February. I was married to a really wealthy guy.
Okay.
That's why I'm obsessed with your mom's wealth.
Okay.
Which I thought was your husband's wealth.
Right.
And, you know, and my life was just kind of set. And then I woke up and I was like, I'm miserable.
Yeah.
And I just like, I couldn't anymore. And it's for like a bajillion reasons that the audience knows, and I'm not going to bore them again with the details. But so we got a divorce. And then all of a sudden I thought, I had this really good friend of mine who was a new friend, also named Taylor, gay, lesbian, and I did not know she was a lesbian. And then when she came out, I was like, oh my God, I have a lesbian friend.
Right.
So now.
Right.
And then we were hanging out. And then one night I was like, oh my God, I like her. I want to kiss her. I was like, that's just what divorced people do. Right.
Right. Right.
They kiss their lesbian friends. And then, I mean, cut to almost 3.5 years later, we're together still.
I love that.
I'm madly in love with her. But like, and then, like, I was working at Sirius. I got fired from Sirius and had to start from scratch. Well, not from scratch, thanks to the amazing audience, but, like, doing this independent thing. And I'm like, everyone's like, you're such an inspiration. I'm like, I'm just fucking forging ahead.
Right.
That's all you're – my life is just one step in front of the other. And I feel like – would you say the same?
Oh, 100%. Like, I mean, my life was, like, totally shook to its core. I kind of had this, like, perfect little family. And then my dad died very suddenly of cancer. It'll be 3 years at Christmas. So I was living in L.A., like, doing the stand-up, doing the improv, like, living my best life. And then all of a sudden I had this like major life event. And of course, what do you do? I just picked up my life and moved home to Atlanta.
Of course.
And I will say this without a doubt, like going back to Atlanta, I've had more opportunities in Atlanta than I ever did in LA. And every time I go back to LA, I see my friends who are doing the same shit. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know? And I've struggled so many times of having those moments where I'm like, man, I'm missing out. But you know what? You don't miss out on life. When shit happens, you got to figure it out and keep going. And I wouldn't take back the 2 years that I've had back home with my mom and my sister for anything. Because you know what? That's real life. And I think my comedy has gotten so much richer because now.
Because life.
Experienced shit.
Exactly.
And I had some like really OG friends who were like, Heather, you're just like my take on life. You know, I've just had such a different experience now that I've dealt with death and trauma and all these things. I'm like, oh, I get it now, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It just comes from a deeper, richer place. So you got to keep rolling with it. My dad always said, you can't control what happens to you. You can only control your attitude.
Absolutely. It's so fucking true.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to cry, girl.
No.
Don't worry. I cry on the air all the time. That's what I fucking do.
You know what? It doesn't
hurt my soul. Yeah. And it's really just for me.
Right. Well, you know, it does. It's funny. I don't really get upset. Like, I don't really cry that much about my dad anymore. It's random shit. Like when I'm at Costco on a Tuesday, that's when grief hits you. It's never when you're like in the moment or like around holidays. I'm like Thanksgiving. I just get really drunk and push through.
Right.
But it's always that random day where you're like, I'm getting my oil changed. I'm like, I would call my dad about this. But you know what? I had a great, wonderful dad. I had 28 amazing years with him, and half my girlfriends hate their dad. So I'm like, I got a good one for a good chunk of my life.
What a good way of looking at things. Seriously. Yeah. I also know the last time you cried though was when you found out that Lord and Taylor were shutting down here in New York City.
I literally, I'm so depressed about Lauren Taylor.
What's the feels for Lauren Taylor?
Okay, you can go to Bloomingdale's and Nordstrom and all that, but there's something about the old school vibe at Lauren Taylor. It's like the cleanest department store. It always has the best brands.
That's true.
And so, like, when I lived in the city years ago, just that iconic moment of going on Fifth Avenue. I can't afford anything else on Fifth Avenue, but Lauren Taylor I could.
Yep. And now it's gone or going away.
And I went yesterday because they're having their big final sale through the end of December. Shout out to Lord and Taylor. And it was such a shit show. It was the first day of the sale and everything was just like scattered. And I literally was there with Jeff, and Jeff's always had like a Lord and Taylor credit card because that's the kind of guy he is. And he was like we were both panicking. I was like, Jeff, grab everything.
So, get the mannequins.
Yes.
Get it all.
Oh, and I will say at the makeup counter, like those women who've been working Chanel have been there for like 20 years and NARS, and everyone was holding each other in the makeup department crying. Like these
Stop.
Old, yes, these old Jewish ladies who have been like set pushing lip glosses on people. And I was like, Rosie, hug me. Like I got so emotional. I was just so upset.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about Britney 911.
Yeah.
How did it happen? How did it come to fruition? Like, I want to know all the details of it.
Well, literally, I was super hungover one day, and I... that's when I come up with like my real like
Me
aha
too.
Moments.
I'm hungover all the time. That's when yes. I do my best work.
Yes.
Because I don't care and I have no filter.
Exactly. And I have like, now I think in my 30s when I'm hungover, I have anxiety.
Depressed.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I am depressed for sure. But I have anxiety because I'm like, today's a beautiful day. I need to be getting out and like doing something with it.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that's what you manifest it into.
Yeah.
You I have channel
like,
it.
Yes. I just, the Sunday scaries on like a Wednesday at 11 a.m. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm hungover and I'm looking, scrolling through Britney, and I just was like, why are we still acting like her behavior is normal?
Like she's okay. Yeah.
It's
like,
not.
Just because she's making a lot of money.
Right.
Doesn't mean that Britney's doing well.
Right.
Yes.
And so I would scroll and I'd see all these celebrities, like, you know, when she'd do the really creepy, the tunnel vision fashion shows where she's like flipping her hair and wearing like really short Hervé Lejeune, whatever, you know, Hervé Lejeune
uh-huh.
dresses, but they're really from BB. And I'm like, what's happening? And then like you'd have all these celebrities like, girl, you look so great. Like, love the extensions that are falling out of your hair. It looks so good. And I was like, this is bullshit. I can't believe that I'm the whistleblower on it. And then literally overnight, everyone was like, oh my God, I've been thinking the same thing.
Me too.
I'm panicking. Yep. What do we do? Yeah.
So what do we do? Where are we now?
It's hard. So
how are we getting... I'm sure, you know, you've reached out to Britney through tagging.
I have. So I used to think that the only thing that she controlled was her social media.
Uh-huh.
And then I found an inside source that she actually sends it to a PR company.
No.
But she'll send like 10 photos with 10 captions and then they literally pick the best one. So what she's putting up is
working,
the best.
They're working with the best of her.
Yes.
So it is still her. Because like yes. if they were like, girl, none of this is good. Let's start from scratch. She would be like, no.
She's like, no, put it up. So
she is kind of in control. Like, can yes. you imagine working at that PR company? They must be like, motherfuck.
Yes.
That's like literally trying to turn shit into gold.
Oh, yeah. You know they're panicking. And you know it's like one girl in there, you know, just who's like, I don't. All right. My hands are tied. I'll put it up. So it's still authentically Britney. But that's why I'm like, I've tried to reach out. But I know she's probably not. She probably didn't even have her own password. Like, everything
literally
is controlled.
Do you think her dad is a good influence or a bad influence? I can't decide.
I can't either. I think that, here's the thing. I think when she had that meltdown,
with
right?
With a shaved head, with the umbrella.
Right, with the shaved head. And then after that, she was her manager, was it Sam Lufty?
Girl, you are going yes. to the archives. Yes. yes.
So he was the one who got her on all the drugs. That was like a tipping point. He basically like controlled her, manipulated her. There's a lot of brainwashing. I think the Illuminati.
Wait, do you really? Wait, I know you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. She's sending a signal.
I know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you really think that, like, Sam Lufty, do you think that he just enabled her, or do you think that he actually got her, like, hooked in this world to control her?
No, I think he got her hooked, and that's why her parents got the conservatorship.
Right.
And it all went downhill, and then, you know, am I getting my timelines crossed? Did she start dating K-Fed after or before? I can't remember.
You know what? This is what I know. So I have been such a fan of Britney Spears. Like when so I'm 36. I'm a little older. So like she was like, we were like right at the same age. She was
yes.
maybe a little older than me. So I remember going to the gym in college, being like listening to Slave for You on repeat, like a psycho.
Yeah.
And being like, I will look like Britney Spears. Like I was obsessed. Like Autumn Goodbye is my most favorite.
Yes.
Like off the beaten path track that Britney ever did. Only true fans know Autumn Goodbye.
Yes.
And I just like, she was so aspirational. And then I don't even remember, it's like I blocked it like it was like a bad memory. I don't even remember when it went off the rails. I really think it was K-Fed though. He was the beginning. And I remember I bought tickets to her concert, and I also bought a Britney Spears, it was a decoupage, like basically like ripouts of like tabloid pictures of Britney. It was decoupage into this like disgusting, gross purse. It was like so janky. And I bought it for the Britney Spears concert. I was so ready to go and so excited. And she canceled because she had knee surgery, but it was K-Fed.
Yeah.
It was so
they were doing meth in the bathroom together.
He was the beginning of the end.
Yes. And remember that when they did that, the reality show that they filmed themselves?
Yes.
That's when nobody could get control over her. And look, if I was in her position, I would probably break out and date a bad boy too. You've been under somebody's control, whether it's your parents, Disney, whoever, you know, the man upstairs is kind of situation.
Right.
Who's controlling the puppet strings since she was about like 14.
True.
So then she's like, I've always been the public eye. She wanted to rebel a bit. But I definitely think there was a situation where either after K-Fed or really before, she's mentally stunted in a way that I think she missed so much of her childhood.
You know what she reminds me of? Michael Jackson.
100%.
1,000%, yes. Right? Like, I actually believe that Michael didn't sexually abuse kids because I think that he wasn't even sexual. I think he was stuck at 10 and he was having slumber parties, inappropriate for an adult man, but like doing things that normal kids at the same age do. He just happened to be a grown-ass man.
Right, and because he missed out on so much of his childhood.
Which is wrong, but I think that he was stunted, and I feel like Britney is like right in the same boat, girl.
I agree, and you know what? It's so frustrating to see her, and if you go and look at some of these interviews that she's done like before K-Fed, she's actually so smart and so witty. And
I can't even believe it.
I know.
It's so far removed.
I'll send you some. And then I think she just dumbed herself down. And now I think she's on a cocktail of pills where she is so anxious. Like, I think they've literally suppressed her because she's so anxious. And like, you see her in interviews on like Jimmy Fallon or James Corden. And she's like, it's like an outer body for her. She's so uncomfortable in her skin now. And I really think, and I've said it from the beginning, she just wants to go back to Louisiana, teach cheer sport, like relax. She always talks about having another kid.
Yes.
She just wants to be a mom, and as she should be. She's had the career since she was 14. Let her be a mom.
So her dad, like, having her at the Vegas residency, it's not like he, because he always says she's her happiest when she's performing. She's also making fucking bank when she's performing, dude.
Right.
So is that, like, the real reason that she's performing is because it makes her happy? I mean, have you ever heard the voice tracks that, like, the audio of her actual real voice while she's singing on stage that they record? I don't know why anybody would record it. They should never record it. But she's singing with, like, a voice track. But it's actually the recording of her without the voice track. And she's, like, breathing, and she's, like, so off-key, and she's bad.
Well, and the thing is, her register is, like, vocally is so much deeper. She's like me, like, we're literally down here. Uh-huh. And they tried to make her super poppy.
Autumn goodbye. It's that very baby bubblegummy.
And that's not her real voice. So I'm sure that this stuff has been auto-tuned for so many years. Like, when she really
sings, we even knew auto-tune existed.
Exactly. So I think she just wants to live authentically. And unfortunately, she has so many people on the payroll. And I've said this for a long time.
Yep.
I can't really say whether or not her dad's a bad or good guy. I think at the end of the day, he's a father, and he's like, I got to control all these things because I don't want other people taking control of her.
For her well-being or because of the money?
No, I think for her well-being. Because I think at the end of the day, they're all really simple. They could all go back to Louisiana and just live a simple life. But now she has to pay for everyone else.
True. And so when we saw Britney at the VMAs at Give Me More, doing Give Me More, that was the saddest day of my life.
Because she was, you know what? She was bloated because she was on all the uppers and downers.
Ugh.
You know, when you're on a mood stabilizer and you know you take two Xanax, you just want to go eat a cheeseburger and like lay in the house. So she was like dead behind the eyes.
And I feel like we have the same exact Britney today. Dead behind the eyes.
I think she's really in shape, but dead behind the eyes. Yeah.
Also, can we just get the girl hair and makeup? I mean, that alone would make such a big difference.
But see, that's a control thing. So I've had so many people send me messages, and I have to be so careful about what I say because I don't want to blow up anyone's spot. But they're like, she will not sit in a hair and makeup chair for more than 10 or 15 minutes. That's why the hair's a mess. That's why she does her own ponytail. That's why the spray tan's a mess, because she doesn't want anyone touching her. Again, outer body, I think she's like, literally seeing herself getting hair and makeup and is like, I just get off me. I don't want to be touched.
Okay, so like I was talking earlier today, but so I feel like who's the next blank 911 for you? I mean, obviously Lindsay Lohan is always right there.
Yeah, like, Lindsay's about to spiral. You know, somebody just sent me a message today and said we need to keep an eye on Tara Reid. You know, she got mellow for a while, so I need to check up on her.
Actually, the last time I interviewed her, she was allegedly, in my opinion, on drugs. Allegedly, in my opinion, on drugs. And I almost almost brought it up, but I thought that is just so fucking cruel to kick someone when they're down.
Yeah.
And then she immediately after I interviewed her went on Jenny McCarthy's show because this is when I was serious. And Jenny, and she walked out of Jenny's show. So unlike me, Jenny decided to go for the jugular.
Right, right.
And but I just felt like it was like she was, it was almost too real. I couldn't even bring it up. Like, I'm like, let's just get through this interview, girl, me and you. Like, right, we'll do this together. Because she was not well.
And listen, I've taken like, you know, two Adderalls and like really lived my truth before in public.
Hey, girly. Just a real quick break to talk about one of our fabulous sponsors, Lola. Loving myself some Lola. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners, and they now offer sex products too. Okay, so I love Lola because it's like, yeah, females help them with the female problems. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't call them problems. They're really gifts, right? Gifts of pleasure, gifts of life, or the gift of not wanting to have the life yet. Lola's got you covered in your private regions is basically what I'm trying to say, and they do it oh so good. First things first, they're organic, okay? And I mean, you see how picky I am about my shoes, and they only go on my feet. Their period products are made with organic cotton, and also their sex products. Yes, like I'm talking condoms, personal lubricant. I'm also talking about cleansing wipes. You know what I'm saying. Don't make me explain it. But they're also made with organic ingredients to make sure that, you know, we're sensitive to our little best friend down below. Here's another thing I love about Lola. So it's a subscription, right? So it comes every single month. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're acting all cray cray and you're like, what's wrong with me? Why do I hate all my friends, my family, my significant other? Everyone leave me alone. And then you get your period and you're like, oh my God, I'm such a silly willy. Like, I've been only getting my period for like, I don't know, the last 20 something years. And every single month I'm like, oh my God, you're here again. I forgot about you. I was acting insane. And then you're like, uh-oh, I don't have any tampons. Well, that doesn't happen with Lola because you're on a monthly cycle, like your period. So basically, it's all synced up and then you can remember, oh, right, this is why I'm being crazy. And oh, thank goodness that I don't have to run out to the drugstore right now and get some tampons. I also love Lola because you can fully customize your mix of products, absorbency, number of boxes, frequency of delivery, and also their subscription is super flexible, so you can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time. Like, oh, I don't know, if you get preggers. Very important to not forget the sex part of Lola. So the Sex by Lola line is available. It's also available for subscription, and you can add it to your period subscription, so everything is like totally conveniently delivered at the same time, but now you can be judgment-free with Lola. So what are you waiting for? Visit mylola.com and get your customizable, privately sent to you bucks o' goodies. And guess what? I got a code for you. So for 40% off all subscriptions, visit again mylola.com and enter code TOT. Again, if you want to join, and why wouldn't you, go right now to mylola.com. And for 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter my promo code TOT when you subscribe.
But I'm
like Justin Bieber. Yeah. He should be on. He's a 911. Yes. You see that video of him shaking?
I'm keeping an eye on him too.
And he also looks like such a hillbilly.
Again, you know what? It's these kids who got too famous too quick. And I think eventually they're just going to crack.
I know.
They need to have that bad boy moment. I mean, he had his bad boy moment a couple years ago, you know, and he was like getting DUIs in Miami in a Lamborghini.
Yep.
And then now.
And throwing eggs at his neighbor's house.
Right.
In Beverly Hills.
Because he wanted to feel like a kid.
Right.
And then he married Hailey Baldwin and they're like really into church, which I love. But I think he's
teetering. Do they serve meth at that church? Because he's tweaking hard.
Everyone is tweaking. Also, what doctors do y'all go to get all these prescriptions? My doctor is literally grills me, like waterboards me.
Oh, girl. You just got to go to a doctor in New York City.
Yeah, that's true.
My psychiatrist my drug dealer.
Yeah, 100%.
Luckily, I don't want to take all the tweaky drugs. I just want to go to sleep at night.
Was Tara on Uppers or Downers?
I'm going to, allegedly, in my opinion.
Allegedly, your opinion.
Yeah. Allegedly, in my opinion, it was probably Uppers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably cocaine, in my opinion, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Great.
Like maybe, in my opinion, I might have seen it in her nostril. Right. In my opinion. Allegedly.
Right.
Of my eyes, alleged.
Right. And here's the thing. I'm just so bad on drugs. Like, real talk. Like, I did coke a couple times in college, but literally, I just have such a bad hangover. Like, I don't have a Pedialyte before I go to bed. I shut down. So I just can't function. I can't function in public on the drugs.
No, I mean, I suck at drugs. Drugs right. have the opposite effect. Everyone has so much fun, and I'm like singing in a corner crying when everybody's supposed to be like rubbing each other and making out.
Yes, 100%.
Doesn't work for me.
Me too. Me too. And all my friends want to like go to Peru and do a ayahuasca, and I'm like,
no.
Worst nightmare.
My body will flip inside out. My skin will be on the inside of my body will be on the outside.
Yes.
That's how bad it will go.
Now, I'm glad that these like weed pins made a comeback, and like, you know, I can like vape and like, you know, have a moment and relax.
I can't even smoke with the weed, which is so sad. So I just like, I just booze it up, girl.
Right.
Speaking of which, I know you love April spritzes. I was going to bring them to you today. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's early.
I know. I thought maybe she has something afterwards. But girl, I love myself an April spritz.
They're so refreshing and crisp.
They sent you a lot of stuff recently.
Yes. So,
was that the most, I wanted to ask you, when was the most famous moment of your life thus far?
My most famous moment.
Because I thought maybe it would be the Aperol Spritz, because that was big deal. They send you a lot of
shit.
No,
well, when they give me a campaign, that will be the most famous moment of my life.
What would be like a campaign? What would it look like?
Well, here's the thing.
On your vision board.
On my vision board, I really want to get married in Italy next year.
Okay.
And so I really want them to sponsor the wedding to the Italian Stallion in Italy, in Tuscany. And honestly, I think that's a good campaign. So I basically started harassing them.
I think it's a great campaign.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and you know, okay, so you know, in like very traditional weddings, when you do the, you know, where you combine the sands, you know, and the groom and the bride pour the sands, the colorful sands into the jar, and it's like, look, we're combining our love and our family or whatever. I just want to make a spritz. Like, that's on brand for Jeff and I.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and I'm like, let's just get that wedding paid for. Aperol, pay for it.
Why not?
The theme will be Aperol orange. Ooh. Like, I'll have my bridesmaids wear that color. I'm already working with my girlfriend to do it, and I'm not technically engaged yet, but like, I am like verbally engaged.
Wait, let's talk about verbal engagement, because my girlfriend and I are also, so I went to my sister's fucking Disney wedding, and her, like,
what?
No, like, she's a fairy tale princess, and at first I was being such a snarky asshole. She's my baby sister, I'm the big sister, so it's my job to be nice to her. That's like my number one job. Right. And so I,
tell
you know,
that to my sister.
I will have a talk with her. So, and her name is Paige, and she's just always been a Disney princess. Like, my dad's speech was like, I remember Paige is so innocent, like, we had to like make her stop watching Disney when she was in college. Wow. Like, she was like in it. Although I will say, caveat, I interviewed Selena Gomez's mom, Mandy Teefee. And Mandy, actually, I got to know her when I worked at Sears, because she was a listener when I worked on Cosmo Radio. And I interviewed her about, you know, we were talking about her show. Oh, she did 13 Reasons Why.
Right.
And we were talking about just this idea of watching Disney. Oh, I was saying how I was obsessed with Selena, and it was creepy because I was a 20-year-old and like, what 20-year-olds watch it? And she said, no, your generation actually, like, a lot of older kids watch Disney because they were trying to like recapture this innocence.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is so sad. So not, my sister's not stunted. She's just trying to recapture the innocence.
And I respect that. But like, I was never the kid. I never watched cartoons. Like, Mr. Rogers was the most innocent thing I watched. My mom would like come home and I'd literally be trying to watch Ricky Lake and Sally Jesse Raphael. Like, I've always lived for the drama. So my mom was like, Heather, you just did not relate to Beauty and the Beast. You're like, I need to see what's happening on Ricky Lake. Mama, turn it on. I always like things like based in reality and truth. So I've been living my truth since I was a babe.
You know? I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
So my sister had this wedding where it was like, at first I was like, oh God, I have to write a speech that's like nice and like about like Disney. And then as I was really getting into it and writing it, I was like, she's innocent. And it's amazing. And her life is a fairy tale. So I came out of the wedding like drinking the motherfucking Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I love love and I'm not going to be negative anymore. And I love life and I'm happy again. I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. And now ever since, every fucking picture I post of me and my girlfriend Taylor on Instagram, everyone's like, oh my God, I thought it was an engagement picture. And I'm like, oh my God, verbal engagement.
Okay, let me tell you
what. I feel
what
like
about
you're Italian
that.
Stallion. I'm the man one here.
Let me tell you about that life. So Jeff and I met when we were in our early 20s, and we've been together 7 years, like hardcore.
Hardcore.
We have not broken up. Nope. We have not been on the rocks. It has been like, this is my boo thing. So anyway, so we just had a very mature relationship. Like, he has been working his ass off in New York, and I said, babe, I got to go to LA and do my thing. We were long distance for 3 years when I was in LA, and we'd fly back and forth and just make it work. Uh-huh. Then I lost my dad. Jeff flew down to Texas while my dad was dying in a hospital and asked my dad for my hand in marriage.
Aww.
So we are like, he asked my dad, like, it's done. People don't get that though. They're right. always like, what is he doing? I don't get it. And I know it comes from a place of love because they really love seeing us together.
Of course.
Because Jeff's a riot. Like, if you can't get along with Jeff, that's on you.
Right.
But I try and tell people, I'm like, right after my dad passed, everyone was like, you should get engaged. You should get engaged. I'm like, no. I specifically asked Jeff. I was like, I can't handle that. I need time to grieve and like figure my shit out.
Of course.
And then he started like this grad school program thing for, he does consulting with like real estate development. So he had to do this thing for 18 months and was literally working his ass off. So I was like, let's get through that, pay off grad school, pay off this.
Yes.
I got to be in Atlanta and help my mom, and then we'll do it. But now he's booking jobs, so he's making coin. So I'm moving back to New York, and I was like, well, I was going to move in October, and then I was like, honey, we're traveling so much for the holidays. It's so stupid to put all this money down for an apartment. Let's do it in the new year. And I was like, and also, like, I kind of want a ring before I get an apartment.
Right. You know?
Yeah, but yeah, it's
but
happening.
So it's happening.
Yeah, so we literally sit around and like plan our wedding, and it's just literally I've gone to the jeweler and I'd be like, I want this, and then like whatever he comes in with, like I can fit all budgets.
You know what I want to do? What? Tell me if you think this is fucked up or not.
What?
Because I know you'll give it to me straight. So I have the most gorgeous ring from when I was married to my husband. That's what I call him. When I was a rich person, and it's so gorgeous. And like I didn't realize this, but diamonds lose value like a fucking brand new car. The second you drive it off the lot, it's like it's just like you like a quarter. Of its worth down the drain. So I'm like, I was gonna sell the ring and then use it to buy two lesbian rings. But then and lesbian engagement rings are different than regular engagement rings. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
They're not. I'm just kidding. So basically, I was gonna do that, but then I thought, but it's gonna be so small. So why don't I just use all that money? Like, why don't I just save the ring, reset it, and then get her like a honker?
There you go.
What do you think about that, though? Rewearing, resetting my engagement ring. Do you think that's bad juju?
Oh, you're a Pisces.
Pisces.
I'm a Pisces.
Pisces.
I think sometimes we got to burn things and let it go.
No,
screw it. No, because
you can't burn a diamond.
No. Yeah, you're right. No, hell no. As long as you're like, listen, we ended up on the good end of this deal.
Yes.
Screw it. I don't care. I don't care if it's a blood diamond. No, I actually do care. But like, I'm like, I do care. What people don't know won't kill them, you know?
Exactly. So I fucking tell everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Because I feel guilty.
Exactly.
Or something.
You know, I've even said, you know, God, I'm from the South. All my girlfriends have the most insane rings. And Jeff's Italian. Trust me, all my jewelry is from his like family jeweler. I mean, it is like gaudy, the shit that they have, his whole family. And I've said, like, I mean, can I do something other than a diamond? And then my Southern friends are like, absolutely not. You got to have a diamond. And then my friends from New York and LA are like, do whatever you want. But the thing is, can you have, and Jeff has really nice, expensive taste, but I'm like, okay, if you get a giant ring, you can't wear it around New York.
No, you got to flip it over on the subway, because I like taking the subway.
Right.
You know?
Me too. I'm a scrappy chick, and it's like, I'm a comedian. I can't go to clubs with like my 4-carat ring, and I'm like, you know, anybody's going to take me seriously. It doesn't work that way.
Uh-uh, it doesn't.
So I really want diamond hoops, but Jeff's like, I could get you those for Christmas. I'm like, no, babe. I want the J-Lo, the giant like 6-carat diamond hoops. I'd take that over a ring any day. I already wear my parents' wedding band that they got before they had a pot to piss in. So like that's sentimental to me. I'm like, just give me diamond hoops. I'll wear them every day.
Girl, I like you. I like your vibe. You're just like living your, you really are. I know we're joking. You're living your truth, but you're fucking living your truth. You just, you march to the beat of your own drum.
I appreciate that.
And you don't give a fuck in a good way.
Yeah. Well, I realize like.
What age? What age did that happen for you?
Oh, like 6.
It was out of your control.
No, literally it was out of my control. Because I have always been one of those people. I always just laugh at myself.
Yep.
I've never taken myself seriously. I was just, and some other people would be like, Heather's just a joyful person. And I think that is so kind that people say that. But even in like the darkest times, I've always just like, I get through shit through laughter and humor. And if it's self-deprecating, if I can make fun of myself and it makes somebody else feel good, then I've done my job.
So
you know?
Be it.
And you have to laugh. Life is too fucking hard for us to walk around pissed off, offended all the time.
Trying to be perfect.
Yeah, like screw it.
Don't do it to yourself.
I mean, look, I take off my jeans every day and it looks like I have a cesarean scar because the zipper is just tucking in to my lower abdomen.
Same.
But you know what? I'm like, whatever. Jeff still likes to get freaky. We're good.
I could talk to you literally for the rest of my life, and I feel like this is the beginning of talking to each other a lot.
Yes.
I hope so. You are a fucking dream. I adore you. Thank you for coming in
Thanks
on this lovely episode of Taste of Taylor. You guys, make sure to follow Heather on her gram. Her gram is just delicious. It's as good as Bravo. Did I just say that? I did.
Oh, yes,
you're like
honey.
TV.
You know, and that's the thing. People are like, I tune into you every day. I watch you all day. And I'm like, fuck, I've got to start getting paid for this because I've been giving people free reality for like the last 2 years. So.
And follow her at Heather K. McMahon.
Yes.
And I mean, yeah, girl, it's just begun. I'm so excited to watch your career.
Hey,
it's
thanks
fucking
for having
awesome.
Me. This
Thank
is awesome.
Thank you so much. And yeah, that's it for us, guys. Make sure to tune in to Taste of Taylor every single Wednesday, new episode. Heather, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
You guys, I'll see you next Wednesday. Taste of Taylor. Tell your friends. Share it with everybody. Let's make me famous. Bye, guys. Did you enjoy this taste of me? Want more? Then go to TaylorStrecker.com and sign up for my daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show, and listen live or on demand. Visit TaylorStrecker.com to subscribe now.